Welcome to Influential Visions. Here we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. Here is your host, Nathaniel Schuller.
Well, today we are talking about technology, the new amphetamines. And as you probably know, tech addiction is real. So fortunately, I am joined by Stephen J. Manning. And if you don't know who he is, I suggest you Google him. So, Steve, what do you think about technology and tech addiction? I mean, there are loads of stats out here, which we can dig into in a little bit, but it's kind of brutal out there, right?
Well, it's a way of life. And as with everything else, good, bad, indifferent, tragic, incredible. But we've come to a point in our lives where technology rules the roost rather than original thought. Good, bad, often indifferent, and sometimes just tragic. That we are either users or slaves to it. The scary part is the extent to which more and more of us become slaves to it. Now, some of that is by design and definition. You can't buy a new car and not be victimized by its technology. On the other hand, people wake up early in the morning addicted to some form of it or things that technology makes possible. You know, the whole mobile device insanity to social media. And then, of course, the amazing part about the ability to do some kind of research. And some people, the addiction is real. It's evident. We all know it. We all see it. We experience it. And some of us revolt against it.
Absolutely.
And if I may, thinking about this morning, I said to myself, I'm a little confused by this incredible developmental arc over many years, without a doubt, but accentuated over just last couple. So one of the people that I like to quote, although I'm not sure I understand him, is French philosopher Descartes, 1600s, I think. One of my favorite quotes is cogito ergo sum, which, although it was French, he was arrogant. He said it in Latin. Translates to, I think, therefore I am. Now, that's very relevant in my life. I think that way. I focus on thinking, and hopefully I accomplish something. I'm thinking that whole notion of I think, therefore I am, has been subverted or taken over by technology for a lot of people, particularly in the mobile world and research world. I think about I think, therefore I am, not anymore. I've got a mobile device and I know how to use it. And therefore, I'm thinking to myself, is that we're no longer asking people to think, to validate their existence, think, and the extension of that is communicate, et cetera. That whole thing encapsulate in a, I don't know, 3x5-inch, 3x6-inch device gives me a shallow sense of self-awareness. Look at me, I'm important. I got this. I can communicate. I can read, write, all that. And that, of course, unfortunately, also gives, I don't know, a couple billion people a pathetic sense of relevance. I can do this, therefore I'm relevant. Really? In my little world, and mind you, I go back to social media. I was there when Twitter was created. I didn't get it. Didn't understand it. I told you this before. 6 hours into the first meeting, they told me I was a barely functioning idiot because I couldn't figure out how to make money at it. Well, I'm still a barely functioning idiot as to Twitter. But how many people post on social media, on Facebook, and so on? Billions. How many posts a day? I don't know, a billion or two?
Crazy.
How many of those are read by anyone other than the poster or immediate family? I venture to say 99%, but hey, I exist. I can see myself. And of course, I am tethered to this 24 hours a day. Therefore, I have reach. I have relevance. I am important. I think that's tragic is what it is. And perhaps we can get into the whole mobile thing, because I've been at that for a while, and I have some observations that I find incredibly troubling.
Yeah, well, I think the whole thing is troubling. When you see people at the gym and they, rather than, because, you know, I like to log my workouts, right? So I like to go and say I'm lifting some weights. I like to say, okay, so last week I was listed lifting like 80 kilos. This week I want to lift 90 kilos, right? So I log that information because that's really important to log your progress. It doesn't mean I want to sit there and mess around and look at every single different social media app whilst I'm in the gym, which distracts me from the real world, because it's not the real world, yeah? And this is a main issue I have with social media. It affects people's mental health because they judge other people's lives by what they post online. And then they compare themselves to those other people, which leads to depression, low self-esteem, all these kind of things. And this is a major issue. But we have people who are addicted to the internet. It's not just social media. And apparently 48% of internet users in 2022, this is in America, considered themselves as addicted to somewhat addicted to digital devices. So that's an interesting stat, right? Half the population practically. But obviously we need some more up-to-date figures on that because of COVID. I think, you know, these figures will have been skewed because we maximized the amount of time we spent online. It went up and then it leveled off. So now we're back down to what it probably was just before that. But I mean, you know, we got 5-something billion people in the world who are on the internet. I wonder how many of those are truly actually addicted to the internet. I mean, look, I'm addicted to the internet. I know loads of people who are addicted to the internet. But I mean, my kind of attitude is, if you don't have any peace of mind and you can't put that device down for an hour, for 2 hours, for 3 hours without you know, these little kind of receptors in your brain making you pick it up, then you got to understand that you've got a problem, in my opinion.
I concur entirely. I would love to hopscotch a couple of little vignettes, if you will. You know, I came to the internet world very, very early. I think we might have been the 9th or 10th people on the backbone when we discovered this incredible thing called the internet. Didn't get it. Didn't understand the other 9 because they were all kids. We were adults. But we spent $2,500 to join Kix, Internet Commercial Exchange. And therefore, we were on the backbone. Have no idea what that is. But we were there. So I had been in the internet world. I remember first time seeing the internet, a billion characters on a screen, on an airplane, mind you, from a friend of mine who was a pioneer. And I remember the first browser when the kids in Champlain came up with Alta Vista. Whoa, I had one of those. But then I also had an email address and I didn't know anybody else that had one. So I go back a little bit into the internet world. We have created countless websites, web properties. I have deployed hundreds of billions of digital messages across the internet in my career, billions and billions of dollars worth of stuff. Am I addicted to the internet? Hey, listen, I know the guy who has 35 patents, including the TCP/IP stack. Those of you techies understand what that is. He also has his own search engine, which is amazing. Am I addicted to the internet? No, I am an absolute thoughtful user, because I realized the first time I saw a comprehensive database / search capacity, which one of my guys brought me, hey, check this out. Sears and IBM are doing this. I spent 30 straight hours staring at a screen, checking everything. I said, forget it. It can't, my God, it was fascinating, but it can't destroy it. The addiction to the internet, first of all, as I said 2 days ago when we were talking about this, I don't know anybody over the age of 10 who hasn't Googled something. Now, but the addiction part is real. Vignettes. And I want to talk about mobile phones for a moment, if you allow me. One, I know a quality physician. I make that distinction because I know some physicians that are certainly not quality. Quality physician who works his 12-hour shift in a major ER, but the first thing he does early in the morning, you know what it is, right? He posts stuff on the internet. When he takes that break that he needs to caffeinate, he posts on the internet. Then when he's done, he actually sits in the car in his parking lot, posting on Instagram, checking this, that, the other. I hope I don't run into him when I end up in an emergency room. I have a couple of quality people in my life who, well, let me describe it. Hey, Steve, do you know what that store is? Yeah, on a corner of 3rd and Main. I get two people immediately looking it up. I say, I just told you the corner 3rd and Main. Well, you know, it's just making sure. Really, I'm an idiot. I've been there. I was there yesterday. It's 3rd and Main. No. So you have to use the internet to validate ordinary information. It's astounding. I know some people who, in the middle of dinner conversation, and I say, is there some calamity happening in the world at 10, 12 this evening that you must keep track of? Oh, no. And then 5 minutes later, I get a dilly from Instagram, which I delete because my life doesn't revolve around other people's silliness and follies. Those are genuine addictions. And I go right back to what I said before. I'm validating my existence because I can do that. Mobile phones. I remember my first mobile phone. The device itself was the size of a brick built into my car. And I had a 6-foot antenna sticking out of the trunk of this expensive car I was driving. Now, why did I have that? It's because I took over operations from the company I was in, and I was often bouncing from facility to facility. And that 10, 20 minutes on the California freeways was a good opportunity to make some calls. I have friends who scoff at me. Oh, you're arrogant, showing off. No, I saved myself an hour a day. I had truckers on the California freeways trying to sideswipe me because that's just so arrogant. And this is something that I think you'll appreciate. I remember being on the phone, on a landline, talking to the nice lady at the phone company and trying to get myself a number. And she told me that, you know, you're the number 10,003 that we're giving a number to. That's how long ago. And then she told me, what number would you like? I said, seriously? I said, can you give me a number that I'll remember? She says, I have one here that nobody wants. You want it? What? It has a bunch of sixes in it. What does that mean? In some cultures, sixes mean the devil. Bingo. I have the same phone number today with a bunch of sixes in it. Quick vignette. Out to dinner with my wife in a nice restaurant full of people. I said, I'm going to talk to Schooler tomorrow about this. And I'm surreptitiously looking table to table. Every table has almost as many phones on the table as there are people. 20% of the people at these tables had the phone device in their hand and they were doing this. The tragic part is there are a bunch of tables with couples, nice couples. And they're there sitting at a table, each one doing this, not talking or looking at each other. I was about to walk over to about 10 of those tables and say, you need another mate. But I didn't because my wife wouldn't let me. Vignette number two. So we go to the movies, something we all used to do before COVID, but now some of us do it again. Standing in line to get the exorbitantly priced popcorn. Which, of course, it's amazing. You could stand in line for 15 minutes and then the guy in front of you says, what do I want? You've been standing here for 20 minutes. The only person in that line of 12 was not talking to mobile phone. Saturday evening at 9 o'clock was me. So I said, my God, how unimportant are you? Nobody's calling you at 10 o'clock and 9 o'clock at night on Saturday. You're not calling anyone. You must be really unimportant. Well, I am unimportant, but not that unimportant. Natural extension is, who exactly are you talking about and what? Oh, hi, I'm sitting in line to buy popcorn for $7.45, $7.95 for a little tub at the movies. Are there really people out there who want to know that? Who must know that?
It's shocking. It's absolutely shocking.
Blows my mind. And I looked at my wife, and you know her. My wife, by universe, is much smarter than I am, much more thoughtful. And I said, honey, are we really that irrelevant? Now, there was a time not so long ago that my wife was one of the top three media brokers in the country. I'd say she was really relevant. Me, not so much. The best I can account for is a billion plus whatever company that I ran. But I was never that important. That I had to, who the heck do I have to talk? You know, sometimes I make fun. I pick up the phone 10:30 at night somewhere with people and say, excuse me, I have a call from the State Department. I must take this. I do that just in general. Oh, the president is calling. I'll be with you in a minute. Now, that is an addiction. You know what? How about you gaze at the stars? You talk to the guy next to you. Talk to the woman over there. Beach calling some friend in Wichita Falls, Kansas, saying, hey, I'm about to buy popcorn. Really? I think that's just addictive. And I have a friend who, part of the doctoral thesis, I advanced the idea of what you and I are talking about. And she said, do you think that as a physiological matter, there are people who do this and that releases endorphins in the brain? I said, Nat Schooler on technology, new amphetamines. There you go.
Well, exactly. But that's what I was going to say, actually. I looked up a bit of information on this. We've been doing a lot of research into many, many topics, actually, Stephen and I. And if you would like to dig into this topic in more detail, we will provide a 10-page document for you at the price of $9.95. So drop us a message if you would like us to send that over to you. We're also doing a number of other very important informational PDFs. So please drop us a message if you'd like anything else that we've talked about formed into that kind of research paper for you. And if you have any specifics that you'd like us to dig into, we can obviously adapt that for you. But back to this dopamine kind of thing, this neurotransmitter also spikes when we experience social rewards. So those are likes, comments, shares, and discovering entertainment or cute content and actually reading exciting news headlines, which is that's interesting. So we're actually getting dopamine releases, giving us a bit of a high. And those are actually, you know, they've replaced the nicotine addiction for many people who don't smoke. Obviously, smokers have it worse because they're addicted to smoking and they're addicted to their mobile phones. And my attitude is, if you can't literally get immersed in something else for an hour or 2 hours and turn your phone off, you really do have a problem. And I say that from the bottom of my heart, right? Because I know what it's like to fight this addiction, and it is real. It is absolutely real. And you know, I mean, I love the story when you were in a meeting and you did something awful to this marketing director. And I think you should tell us that story, because that's a really, really good one, Stephen.
Well, thank you for humoring me. And please, those of you watching, listening, please don't think this just comes from arrogance or anything like self-importance. It's not. It's just really a reaction. What was, and it still is, one of the biggest direct response enterprises in the world. I had a relationship there for some time, and the executive VP of marketing asked me, hey, can you come to Las Vegas on Thursday? I have all the senior marketing people from Europe, Canada, the US, South America coming in for a two-day meeting. Can you come and talk to us for a couple of hours? I said, well, you know, yeah, okay. And we'll pay your expenses and all that. And just 2 hours. I said, fine, I'll do that. And mind you, this guy was without a doubt really smart, but awesome marketing. He really was. But he was an ugly, insufferable human being. If there's one guy in a company of thousands of employees that was disliked by everyone, it was him. But then when the bonuses came out, everybody said, thank you. Okay. So I said, fine. I get there, this table, there's eight people around the table, including this guy. I knew one. I'd met him, the other one. And these are the top marketing guys in this. They were seven men and one woman. They're good for billions around the world, certainly in the United States. Everyone watching this has heard of this company. Anyway, so I'm sitting there, and we're sitting in a coffee shop in this big hotel in Vegas at 10:30 in the morning. Coffee, drinks, whatever. Okay, he says, go ahead, somebody talk. Now, this was designed a Q&A. You guys ask, I respond. The reason for that was, by then I'd done, I don't know, tens of billions in direct response. And then I was an internet pioneer. And they, with all their tremendous wherewithal, they were behind in the online world. Questions. First question, in 2 minutes into it, this guy's phone rings. He grabs it and says, you guys go on. It stands right over there, barking at somebody on the phone. Typical. Just an awful man. Comes back, throws the thing angrily on the table. Somebody was talking, go ahead. Whoa. I said, okay, I can't hit him because this is not the right thing to do. The conversation continues another 3-4 minutes. Phone rings again. Same thing. Gets up, barking at someone for a minute, comes back, throws it on the desk, table, and says, okay, go on. Now, the third time he did that, in the first 12 minutes, I said to myself, he's important, but is the world on fire at 10:35 on Thursday morning? And I said to myself, what am I doing here? Well, I know what I'm doing here. I'm getting paid, but that's not the point. So I said to him, let's call up John. Maybe that was his name. I said, John, next time you do that, I'm going to take your phone away. Yeah, yeah. Sure enough, 5 minutes later, the phone rings. Does the same thing. Throws the phone on the desk, and I said, okay. So I took his lovely iPhone and dropped it in my big glass of Diet Coke. Now, everybody was a little mortified because Steve's going to get fired. The guy's going to loon out. Who's going to happen? And he looked at me. She didn't really drown my iPhone, did you? I said, you guys are a very wealthy company. You can afford to replace it. Oh, I hope you were technologically advanced enough to back the thing up. And with that, the meeting continued for another hour and 40 minutes, and he didn't blink an eye. I'm a little confused, but I did drown his phone in a thing of Diet Coke. And when he got fired a year later, what they paid him to leave was just insane. There was a party in the company. Everybody partied. They finally got rid of him. Of course, the revenues also went down. And next time I saw him was on an escalator, some building in Chicago, of all places. I was going down, he's coming up. And when he saw me, he went like this. I said, hey, John, how you been? He said, oh, no, don't hurt me. I said, okay. The sheer arrogance of it. You are that important. And then I have people in my life who send me text messages, as I do. Now, those of you watching, listen to us, know that people like Nathaniel and I are very, very aware and very appreciative of people's time and effort. I respond to emails other people would never respond to. I even take calls occasionally from telemarketers, just a woman or a guy doing what? Trying to make a living. I've been there. I am there now. I sometimes respond and explain to them why they're calling the wrong guy. Anyway, but then I have people in my life who will send me a text message at 1 in the morning, 3 in the morning, And then send three more immediately with question marks. I'm not responding. Because they do 24 hours a day. I will respond to your emails. I'll respond to your texts. And I will be as prompt as humanly possible. No, I'm not going to risk killing myself on the California freeway doing this while driving. Not going to do that. Now, if it's my family, if it's people important to me like Nathaniel, I may just pull over and stop the car. Otherwise, you're going to wait the 42 minutes until I get off the darn freeway. That's the story that, thank you for letting me tell.
My pleasure. But no, you know, my phone just went off. I'm sorry about that. I forgot that it wasn't on airplane mode, and I'm guilty of allowing a certain number of people access to me, right? So most of my communications are like muted. So very few people can actually message me at all, and I'll get a notification. So the really important people like yourself, Stephen, get, you know, they can message me, right? But everybody else, yeah, I'll dip in and out of there. And if people message me too much, I'll mute them, because I just don't have the inclination to be continually attacked. I look at it like that, because the moment that notification goes off, you're distracted from everything that you were thinking, everything that you were doing at that particular time. So it takes you away from that particular thing that you were doing, which means that you have to refocus your mind back onto the task in hand, which takes time, and that actually costs you money. So each time someone is given access to you, and they can actually reach into your brain and change what you're doing so you take notice of them, it's costing you money. And this is what people need to remember. And unless those things are super important, because obviously, you know, there are exceptions. There are big exceptions. Because if, for example, like Michael Tobin, OBE, he runs a number of businesses. Well, he's the CEO of a number of businesses. Like, I don't know, maybe 10, 15, I don't know how many businesses, all around the world, different countries. And for him, his attitude is he leaves the phone on the table, face up, so he can see if a message comes in, and then he can deem it important or not important. Because he thinks, in his opinion is, it's taking up valuable brain cycles for him thinking, what could be going wrong on my phone? So I have to look at it. So I have to see it. But you see, that's because he's designed his life in that way. Yeah, it's all about how you design your life. If you say to your friends, look, Stephen, you can email me. I might respond quickly. I might not. But if you really want me to read an email quickly, you need to send me a WhatsApp message and tell me to get my ass to the email so I can read the email. And this is, you know, this is important. The old school way of calling someone is also important still, I believe. But most people shy away from that, because they're just not used to the phone ringing anymore. And even me, when the phone rings, I'm like, who the hell's calling me? Because it's just so unusual. But I do think we need to take our time to understand where we're at, to literally make a plan to at least every day do something whereby we're not looking at our phone for an hour, at least in one sitting, 1 hour, a full hour. We don't touch it. We don't look at it. And I think it's going to make a lot of difference to our lives and our peace of mind, because that's really what we're talking about here. We're talking about peace of mind and concentration, you know. So it's a brutal, brutal thing.
What you just said a moment ago, I think, is so critical. You need to understand, in my world, I need to understand what's important and what is not important. Also, and I don't mean this pejoratively, who is important and who is not in the moment. Nathaniel and I live and work 9 hours, 9 hour time difference, most of the time, sometimes 8, but it's there. And, you know, I am really mindful of this man's valuable time. Thank you. But I have to tell you that if this thing goes off at 3 a.m, on my nightstand, I look at it. Schooler has sent me a message. I will read it, because I know he's not going to want to wake me up at 3 a.m. just because he happens to be up and is having lunch. I think it's important for him to know who that is and why. And of course, it takes a certain amount of training. Some people understand that I keep weird hours. I always have, and kind of somewhere in a 24-hour cycle, I sleep some. And then, of course, working with Nathaniel, others in Europe, 3 o'clock in the morning is a great time to wake up and do some work. Oh, by the way, what wakes me up at 3 o'clock in the morning is I just wake up with the thought of something I need to do, write, read, whatever, or reach out to somebody and say, yo, you got time today? People say, well, I sent you a text message. You didn't respond. You mean the thing you sent me at 3:30 this morning? I was sleeping. Well, you always respond. No, I respond when I'm up. Hey, yeah. Refrain from sending anything to me for a couple more hours, will you? I'm trying to catch up on some sleep. I think it's important to understand, sorry for the redundancy, what is important and what is folly or what is a damn addiction. And you know, the day I get addicted to this, I will tell you all again what I tell Nathaniel. We're going to grow a beard down to here. We're going to move to Pavuvu, put on grass skirts, sit on the beach, gain 100 pounds, and drink umbrella drinks. They don't have phones on the beach in Pavuvu. Oh, they do in town, but not on the beach. That's what we should do. You know what? The mind, who said this? The mind is a terrible thing to waste. Why do you want to dull it? Why do you want to cut the edges? Why do you want to conform? Why do you want to be like everyone else? Why do you want to be ordinary? Why do you want to be obscure? This is an incredible equalizer. I'd like to say an intellectual equalizer, but an intellectual equalizer at the subterranean level. Use it. Enjoy it. Make the best of it. If you live on it, I suggest an alternate lifestyle.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And if you do want us to write, to send you this 10-pager and adapt it for you, then give us a shout. We'd be happy to hear from you. You can contact us at info@influentialvisions.com, or you can connect with Stephen and I on LinkedIn, and those links will be somewhere around. Much appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to hearing from you. Ciao.
Thank you, Nathaniel.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.